I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here in weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering everybody a safe space for you independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politician, just wanting things to get a little bit better in this country. Today's Wednesday, so next hour we'll take a break from politics and get into our segment, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. We've got a few interesting stories. One is if everybody is rushing out to get the flu shot out of fear of what's coming, the twindemic, they're already naming it. We're going to talk a little bit about some concerning news, particularly a headline from March out of Great Britain that should really raise some red flags when it comes to the combination of the flu shot and another coronavirus surge that I'm scared we're going to start seeing in the fall, or at least be told about in the fall. So we'll get into that. And there's a very interesting piece that was given by somebody. I think she was the editor of the JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association, that everybody needs to hear to understand what the U.S. medical system is about. There was a study done about how it's by far and away the most expensive system in the world. And this former editor, it may be a different journal, but it's one of the top medical journals, kind of did a little bit of a whistleblower on the American medical system, which is what I kind of attempt to do every Wednesday as well. So you need to hear that so you can at least put what we're seeing around us when it comes to healthcare into some kind of context. Got my quotes of the day today. This is a big one here. This is it's not attributed to anybody that I could find, but I've heard this over and over again. A government big enough to give you everything you want is a government big enough to take away everything that you have. It's especially to the socialists and far-left Democrats out there who believe that the government is your loving big brother and your mommy. A government big enough to give you everything you want is a government big enough to take away everything that you have. And I've got a story that will follow that in the first hour today, too. Irwin Schiff, another quote. Irwin Schiff, a true American hero, stood up against the individual income tax. His name is forgotten. Very few people know who he is. But he actually tried to unshackle us from the federal income tax theft scam. He said, if you want irresponsible politicians to spend less, you must give them less to spend. And John Adams got a quote from him today. There are two ways to conquer and enslave a country. One is by the sword. The other is by debt. John Adams, again, these founding fathers, boy, they could see into the future. He said, there are two ways to conquer and enslave a country. One is by the sword. The other is by debt. And we are conquering ourselves at this point. You know, I was looking at stuff. Well, I'll get to that in just a second. I wanted to comment. Yesterday, I had to go to a Walmart. And I do not typically go to Walmart. I'm not a fan of Walmarts. I don't like, you know, I'm a capitalist. And the world of capitalism and free markets is a brutal one. Small businesses know what they're up against, but Walmart is quite the bully. It's been the Chinese outlet store in this country for quite a while. Just really not a fan of Walmart, but I had a watch band break. And I use kind of a sports-style watch, and they usually have replacement bands. One thing I noticed at Walmart yesterday, they were out of a ton of stuff. The shelves were sparse. When I went to go look at watch bands, and I've gotten watch bands for this watch before, and they had a big selection. I think out of the rack where there were maybe 40 to 50 slots, they had two replacement watch bands. Maybe they're phasing that out, but there were several things, too. I had to go into the pet section. The pet section was sparse in supplies. I don't know what that means, if it means anything at all, or if it's just poor management of this particular store. But it was interesting nonetheless. But it's been so long since I've been to a Walmart, I didn't realize they were doing this. They had a whole system set up for entry and exit. A couple of the doors were closed. You couldn't go. And I saw there was a lot of confusion from customers. You know, you go somewhere that you know is an exit. They won't let you go out that door. Very, very interesting strategy. Of course, this is all COVID hysteria driven. And it's very interesting that they've closed one of the entry exit ways so that they can really have an orderly coming and going through one single entrance. So they cram everybody in and out through the same door. And this is supposedly some kind of effort to combat the spread of a disease. And you're supposed to stay 6 feet apart in the line. This is just absolutely insane. I was really curious. You don't want to really engage anybody when it comes to COVID, because if you find a true believer in it, you're not going to change their mind. And I don't want to be just disrespectful to somebody. I mean, fear-mongering works on people. I'm aware of that. It doesn't make somebody a bad person if they're scared to death of COVID-19. It just means they're susceptible to brainwashing and they are not really intellectually curious. They're not really paying attention to the way that the numbers and everything have changed over the past 4 to 5 months. They're still, because the news media, I watched this morning news, the first 30 minutes of the broadcast, probably 20 minutes of it was dedicated to coronavirus. I do want to let everybody know Anthony Fauci's doing fine. He had vocal cord surgery. I just wanted to let you know he's recovering well. Everybody on NBC this morning was really just so excited to see him back on the air, and his voice sounded better. So anyway, Fauci's doing well. But I was curious with the Walmart employees if they really even understand exactly how insane this whole policy is. When this thing is all said and done, it will be very interesting. I was listening to a listener called me a couple of weeks ago and asked if I'd listened to the David Knight show. And David Knight is part of the Alex Jones network of shows. Now, David Knight is kind of an outlier in that group. I've always kind of liked him, but I just admit I kind of lost track of his show, but I tuned back in. I got to tell you, he sounds just like me. He's not a Trump fanboy. He certainly cannot stand the radical left, and he's not a Greg Abbott fan, too. And it's so interesting. He may be the only person outside of this radio show that I've listened to. I was looking through memes. There's one website that will run a whole series, kind of like the day's best memes, which I just love. There's really funny stuff on there. There was one of a doctor writing a prescription. He said, talking to his patient, he said, "So you get easily offended on Facebook?" He said, "Let me write you a prescription for two testicles," which I just loved. But the vast majority of memes I see in conservative media and conservative circles couch this idea, this overreaction to COVID, as some kind of a Democrat problem, pretending like the Republicans have had nothing to do with it. David Knight talks all the time about Greg Abbott, who is the Republican governor of Texas, who has locked down Texas and cut restaurants down to 50%, and I'm living in the middle of a red state, looking around and listening to people in Mississippi say, "Yeah, the Democrats are trying to destroy our economy. The Democrats this, the Democrats that," and I'm looking around at closed businesses and restaurants that can only open at half capacity, and I'm hearing my Republican governor issue a 2-week extension of the statewide mask mandate. But yet I'm being told by all these people around me that this is the Democrats driving all the hysteria on COVID. This is the Democrats trying to destroy businesses. It's not. It is both parties, save about six states. And maybe the six states, you know, I'm talking about South Dakota with that Christie Nome and some other states. They may all be Republican states that didn't actually lock down, but to look around, the South Carolina, I believe, has got a Republican governor, and they've had draconian lockdowns in South Carolina. I don't know. It borders on insanity to me that the partisan divide is so bad that people refuse, in the middle of a red state with a Republican governor who brings that ridiculous Thomas Dobbs to sit next to him and scare the bejesus out of everybody, to sit in the middle of a red state and pretend that it is only the Democrats. Now, believe me, the Democrats are abhorrent on COVID-19 and government takeover of everything and refusing to open their states. Well, I got to tell you, New York City, I got a headline I'll get into in just a second. New York City, if they don't have a Republican governor and a Republican mayor next time, not saying that that would make anything any better for New York. I mean, Republican politicians are just as corrupt. But if New York State and New York City people do not make a change of leadership at their next chance at the apple, I don't know when de Blasio in New York City is up for re-election. If they do not make a change, then, I mean, I got to tell you, we just got to say, well, there's just no hope for you people. New York City is being decimated, absolutely decimated. And it'll be interesting to see if they change. But I got to tell you, I do not understand this idea that it is only the Democrats. It's mass mind control, I guess. The political parties have turned into a bit of cults at this point anyway. So pretty fascinating to watch. Let me get through some headlines. And I went through a bunch of headlines last night as I was trying to get ready for the show. And I was just looking at headline after headline. I said, well, these are all show-worthy stuff. I could do 2 hours on just about all of these things. What do I pick? And then I found one. I found the story of stories that I saw yesterday. Absolutely disgusting. Wait till you hear what the CDC is doing now. Stay with me.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling on citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
I was finishing my move yesterday, so I didn't end up doing any show prep during a lot of times during the day. I'll run across something, I'll just clip it and put it in my show notes, this kind of thing. But I didn't get to anything till about 8:30, 9 o'clock last night, which is very unusual for me. I usually probably have half the show done by then and do a little bit at night and then a little bit in the morning. Last night I didn't get started till around 9 o'clock, and I thought, oh my gosh, ugh. How late am I going to be up trying to get show notes together, that stuff? And then I pulled up the headlines, and it was just, I said, oh, okay, this is going to be easy. Here's some of the headlines that I saw yesterday. I mean, everything is so absurd and insane, it's hard to pick out anything that's most concerning at this point. But these are Philadelphia mayor shamed after eating indoors in Maryland while his city remains shut down. There's a ton of these things about the political hypocrisy, the do as I say, don't do as I do, don't watch me, don't hold me accountable, and of course, blowouts for me, not for thee. Nancy Pelosi sneaks a visit to a closed San Francisco hair salon. I'm sure a lot of people have seen this. This thing is certainly making the rounds in conservative media. So Nancy Pelosi, she's blamed the salon. Nancy Pelosi goes out to have her hair done in a closed salon. Her assistant reached out to her hairdresser and asked for an appointment, and I'm sure when Queen Nancy calls, you obey. Either that or these hairstylists who are starving to death because of people like Nancy Pelosi will take any customer they can find, and I guess maybe she wasn't going to get in trouble because she's doing the Queen's hair. I mean, you can't say no to Nancy Pelosi. So anyway, there's video footage of Nancy Pelosi going through this salon. Now, I have to admit, I even blew up the screen on this thing. I really couldn't tell. I don't think Nancy's even wearing a mask. I think she's got it pulled down around her neck like she does when she gives her inane speeches and press conferences, but I don't think she was wearing a mask. So, you know, it's okay for her to go get her hair done. Excuse me, did. Get her hair did. And it's not okay for everybody else. Even the owner of the salon said it was a big slap in the face. I think as of yesterday, September 1st, they were allowing hairstylists in California to do some kind of an outdoor appointment, something like that, or allow one person in at a time. I went to a storage unit a couple of days ago as part of my move. I talked about this yesterday. I stored a bunch of stuff. They had an office that was, I don't know, 20 by 20, 20 by 30, a good-sized lobby with a little waiting area. And I went to go in. There was a person standing at the counter. They stopped me at the door. Sir, we can only have one person in here at a time. Everybody, of course, is masked up. I don't know what the big concern is. If you're wearing a mask and the mask work, why do I have to stand outside in the sun waiting to come in here and ask a question? We've just absolutely lost our minds. But it's good to know. I guess if you're a Democrat politician, the rules do not apply to you. Like Nancy Pelosi, other headlines, California district attorney asked police to consider whether looters needed what they stole before filing charges. By that logic, in California now, you are well within your rights, I guess, if you're in this DA's jurisdiction, to just run into large groups, into a grocery store, and take whatever you want. Because, I mean, you need food, right? I would say maybe stealing cars would be okay. I mean, who doesn't need a car? You can't do anything online now, so who doesn't need a computer? You got to have a smartphone. Who doesn't need a smartphone? I mean, good Lord. California DA asked police to consider whether looters needed what they stole before facing charges. I mean, just think about being a business owner in this DA's jurisdiction. You should be calling your landlord right now or putting up a for sale sign in front of your business right now and moving immediately out of her jurisdiction. It was a female. And then there was this one. Bill de Blasio says New York City indoor dining may not happen until June of 2021. As I say, if New York City and New York State, you know, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, he's the one being heralded as the guy who was really tough, really the shining example on coronavirus response, even though his state is second only to his neighbor in New Jersey under the horrible Phil Murphy, the Democrat that runs New Jersey, in deaths. I mean, New York has probably suffered. New York and New York City have probably suffered economic and death statistics higher than anybody else in the country, partially because their governor, Cuomo, ordered nursing homes to take COVID patients in. Yet he's the example. But if they do not make leadership changes in New York, but de Blasio, the mayor of New York, just if you think about New York City, it's been a while since I've been up there, but it's a pretty big eating out thing. A lot of neighborhood, a lot of people out on the streets, a lot of people moving about in a typical year, lots of restaurants, pretty big city. And their Democrat governor has already said 2021, June, before they can actually have dine-in. I jumped ahead here. There was another headline that just really cracked me up. It said, Democrats propose mail-in debates. That, of course, is the Babylon Bee, who are just absolutely genius. There was a story, too, that I haven't gotten to over the past couple of weeks, but it was this fall and the sexual accusations levied at the Falwells at Liberty University. I guess this is Jerry Falwell Jr. And to be honest with you, I didn't really feel the need to weigh in on that. It's just, you know, another interpersonal thing. I did not know the enrollment at Liberty University is well over 100,000 people at this point. I was pretty surprised. But anyway, The only reason I was really interested in that story, I kept waiting for it, and nobody ran the headline, the final Falwell. I mean, that's a gimme headline. I didn't see it. It's kind of funny. I wrote that last night, and I was looking through the headlines, and then Drudge had a headline, something like that. It was the final bid to the Falwell, something along those lines. But I just thought that was a bit of a layup thing. I'm going to get to. I got to take a break in just a second. But I'll get to the story that I settled on, what the CDC is up to. It's shocking, absolutely shocking stuff. And then on top of that, what a county did to a church that dared to even just protest. I mean, just to say, hey, we think we should be opened up. And these are teachable moments both to conservatives and particularly to Democrats and to far leftist socialists to be careful what you wish for. So many of you think if you could just get the government in there to protect you. And people think that the government is their big brother or their mommy or something along those lines. And you're just so excited. If you just get the government in there to protect everybody because they love you so much. Well, I'll show you exactly what happens when you get a really, really big government. It does not end well. Before I break, one thing I saw today, David Blaine. Have you ever seen David Blaine? He is this, does a lot of street magic stuff, but he does stunts. I think he laid in a block of ice. He's done, stood on top of a pole. He does kind of these physical challenges. He's doing some thing where he goes, maybe going on right now, at some point today, he's traveling 3 miles up or something, just holding onto some balloons. He does some kind of, but my main interest in David Blaine, if you've never seen any of his street magic stuff, you can find his street magic specials. I know they're on YouTube, and they may be on, I can't remember if it was A&E that originally started airing his stuff. But if you've not seen David Blaine's street magic specials, do yourself a favor. It's wildly entertaining, pretty amazing stuff. And he does a lot of this street magic where he goes down the street and does magic for people. He just walks up to people at a bus stop or something like that, and a lot of times in inner cities. I think he even went to Haiti. And a little bit like yesterday, I talked about the hatred. What would life be like without politics, or if politics didn't matter because they didn't control so much of our lives? And his specials kind of show you that people want to be entertained. People like to have a good time. People like to laugh and joke. He goes into some rough neighborhoods and walk up to gangbangers to do card tricks and stuff, and they look hardcore when he first walks up, and by the time he's done a few tricks for them, they are laughing and joking, and they can't believe what's going on. I think the audience reaction to what he does is just about as interesting as the magic, but the magic's phenomenal. Anyway, his name is David Blaine, and he's got Street Magic, I believe is what it's called. You can search for David Blaine Street Magic on YouTube or online and find some of that stuff. I think he's done several of these specials. Amazing stuff. Very entertaining. Much more entertaining than talking about politics. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Next hour, we'll get into health-related topics in Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. During the live news break then, if you're listening to the podcast, you probably didn't, well, you definitely didn't hear it, but they were talking about, well, there's breaking news now that Russia poisoned this other guy. And you know what? Russia could have poisoned the guy. Russia's government's no good. You are not going to find, I don't think, a country on planet Earth where the Mike Madison Show is going to endorse the government of that country, including the United States. Governments are inherently corrupt and bad. But after, I don't know if you followed the story of the Skripal poisoning. This was back in Great Britain a couple of years ago, where they gave the most ludicrous story about the Russians poisoning this guy. The story itself, essentially the story was, this is as reported, and it's still being told. It's like when they said that Assad gassed his own people. The day it happened, I said, well, that's just a load of manure. It didn't make any sense. And it's come out that those things were staged. It didn't stop us from launching 30 or 40 Tomahawk cruise missiles at them. But it was obviously a false flag. It either never happened or someone else did it. These things are so obvious. In the last supposed Russian poisoning of this Skripal, who was a, I don't know if you call him a defector, since this Russia is not still the Soviet Union, but it's a guy who had left and was living in Britain. This is the story they told us, was that the Russians put this highly toxic nerve agent on the doorknob, I believe, of his house. And this is something where, you know, it's one of these things they say a drop of it can kill a whole room full of people or whatever it is. It's one of these very, very, it might have been this Novichok stuff. Can't remember exactly what the name of it was. But they told us it was really deadly. And here's how the supposedly it played out, was that they put it on the doorknob to his house. So he walked in and he was immediately exposed to this nerve agent. Did it kill him right then and there because it's this highly toxic, highly deadly thing? No, he was fine for a while. Matter of fact, he milled about and went on his business for about 4 hours and had lunch with his daughter. And then suddenly when he was on a park bench about 4 hours later, he just keeled over from it. And this is still the official story of this thing. This is what the British authorities will tell you, what people like Mike Pompeo will tell you, the warmongers, the people who were trying to start stuff with Russia. So if they lied so blatantly and stupidly about the Skripal poisoning before, how in the world are we supposed to know if Russia actually did? But it was just reported on the news break. Breaking news. The British authorities or whoever, German authorities, have confirmed that Russia poisoned this guy. And again, Russia might have poisoned this guy, but I will not take German authorities' word for it. The lies that come out of government are just stunning. That's at the point where I just say, I don't know why more people aren't, you know, libertarian or just anti these governments. I don't know why you, if you've got an institution that it doesn't matter who's running it, an R or a D, it just lies to you. Just the lies. So I looked at all those headlines last night and said, well, it's just all kinds of stuff. And then I saw a headline that I had to click through to the story because I thought, well, that can't be right. Let me get to this, see what the headline of this was. An unprecedented move. The CDC, that's the Centers for Disease Control, an unprecedented move, CDC halts most rental evictions until the end of 2020. And as I say, I thought to myself, well, that can't be right. I mean, what authority is this? Does the Centers for Disease Control have to controlling landlords and their relationship with their tenants? That can't be right. Well, I looked at the story. In an unprecedented move on Tuesday, with Congress unable to reach a common ground on virtually any stimulus extension, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention unveiled today, this is yesterday, it would temporarily, at least through the end of 2020, suspend most rental evictions for Americans struggling to pay rent due to the pandemic. In a step which CNN dubbed was, quote, broader than eviction protections already in place, the move comes as negotiations on further coronavirus blow, whatever. And let me tell you what they're doing here. Renters will have to prove that they've taken, quote, best efforts possible to seek government assistance to make their rental payments. I'm sorry. I know a lot of conservatives out there think that this 2020 election is just the most important thing that's ever happened in the history of all mankind because we're trying to keep socialism away. Mike, you don't understand. We got to vote for Trump. The socialists are going to take over. They've already taken over. And for the last 4 years, we've just moved closer to socialism. Now, we haven't done it through black bloc hooded thugs in the streets. We've just moved towards it with things like, air quotes here in the studio, stimulus payments to everybody, paycheck protection checks out to everybody. And this is talking about government assistance to make people's rental payments. See, this is why I think I get a little angry or frustrated, I guess is probably a better word, a little frustrated with people thinking that Trump is going to save you all, because just in the last 6 months, We've made massive lurches to the left and towards socialism. But because Trump is in charge of the government at this point, people just refuse to see it. Anyway, this is the CDC. Again, the Centers for Disease Control. You want to talk about bureaucrats running a country? Oh, my gosh. Okay, renters will have to prove that they've taken, quote, best efforts to seek government assistance to make their rental payments, and will have to, quote, declare that they're unable to pay rent due to COVID financial hardship. And they must show they will, quote, likely become homeless or move into congregate housing settings if they are evicted. Now, you can imagine with the onslaught of applications for this little program, because so here it is, renters will have to fill out several forms found on the CDC's website and give them directly to their landlords to qualify for the program. How many people in the United States will now go to the CDC's website so that they do not have to pay any rent? And how many of them might, I don't know, overstate the impact that the COVID lockdowns have had on them just to avoid paying rent? And with that massive number of people in this country, what I can only imagine will be in the tens of millions, how closely and carefully do you think the CDC will scrutinize all of the applications to make sure that it is not abused, that somebody's not just taking advantage of the situation, that they actually could work or could find a job? So the CDC has a form on its website. This is the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, has a form on their website for people to not pay their rent. And apparently, it's supposed to work. Listen to the rest of this. This is a quote. This will be a declaration presented to the landlord if that landlord approaches a tenant with an intent to evict. This is an official from the CDC said. Because the move is federally mandated, it, quote, would become a criminal offense, unquote, if the landlord chose to ignore the declaration and evict their own tenant. The story goes on. While landlords are effectively being stripped of most, if not all, of their rights with this extraordinary intervention, they'll still be able to remove tenants for things like committing criminal acts, threatening health and safety, that kind of thing. The CDC. What country am I living in? Seriously. I finally got a good night's sleep last night. It's been a while. I've been under a lot of stress. I've been moving and just a lot of stuff going on. But I got a really good night's sleep. How long did I sleep? What year is this? What country am I in? Bureaucrats at the CDC just told landlords, and I'm sympathetic to anybody who's been brutalized by these ridiculous lockdowns. Trust me. This has ruined the lives of tens of millions of Americans needlessly. And it's largely the CDC's fault. Landlords are business owners. Here's what they do. They save their money and they buy a rental property, or they take out a loan and they risk their entire financial fortunes on acquiring rental units. And then they take these rental units and they find a market price that people are willing to pay, and they provide this service to somebody. I've got a house. I'm taking a risk by purchasing a house, which I will loan to you for a monthly rent. These are small business owners, sometimes larger business owners. And the CDC, our federal government, has mandated now that when a landlord shows up to collect rent with an eviction notice that someone hadn't paid in 2 or 3 months, and they show up to evict somebody from their private property, all they have to do is go to their printer, print off a form that says the CDC says you can't do that. It'll be a criminal offense if you kick me out of here. Slam right in the landlord's face. Again, I ask, what country am I living in? This is not the United States. This is not the United States. And this is, I mean, I don't want to keep pointing it out, but it seems like somebody needs to. This is a Republican administration. See, a lot of people think if we just get enough R's up into D.C., Everything will be fixed. This was the stunning headline of the, because I didn't think it was possible. I said, well, how in the hell does the Center for Disease Control now somehow write law as to the landlord-tenant relationship to people who voluntarily come? I mean, you don't have to live anywhere. You don't have to accept the rent somebody has if they jack the rent up on you, or if a place is too expensive, you do crazy things like not rent there or move. But now we've got the bureaucracy coming in and screwing land. I mean, my heart goes out to the landlords, just like the small business owners and everybody else that this government right now is in the process of crushing in this country. Absolutely crushing. Restaurants, hair salons, landlords, hotels, airlines. I mean, the list is long. Poor live event venues. I know Dueling Hall has had some great little shows going on down there in Fonder, and they've kind of created a little funky vibe down there for a whole kinds of different kinds of music at Dueling Hall. Arden Barnett runs the thing down there. I can't imagine what he's had to go through. He also does a lot of promotion of other shows around. I've worked with Arden in the past. I cannot imagine what has happened to Arden Barnett's life. Hopefully he's pretty smart guy, pretty flexible guy. Hopefully he's found some other ways to do it. But the list is endless of these victims, not only of coronavirus lockdowns and of the petty tyrants around this country, but, I mean, stuff like this with the CDC. Landlords now will go to collect rent, and they're going to get a CDC notice put in their face and the door slammed in their face, and there supposedly is nothing they can do. Yeah, you may think the 2020 election is all about keeping socialism at bay. I understand. The left has lost their mind. They're very scary right now. Very, very scary right now. But you might want to pay attention to what's going on before they even have power. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I think everybody's seeing just really the pettiness of bureaucrats and elected politicians. Really, this is one of those things should bring people together. It doesn't matter if you're on the right or the left. You should be opposed to just being arbitrarily stripped of your rights to assemble, have a wedding, have people at your funeral. I mean, it's egregious what's going on right now, but I understand most people are just gripped with fear. Look, politicians and bureaucrats, they know how to get you. They'll let you. You'll let them get away with just about anything as long as they scare the pee out of you. It happens over and over again. But there's teachable moments in this. So there's a couple of groups. This next story should it should kind of wake you up, make you think, maybe make you think again about some certain beliefs you may have held for quite a period of time. The first is to probably people on the right, more conservatives, people who profess this adherence to law and order. And the thing that they say is, you know, when you found out from Edward Snowden that the government was spying on everything that you do, a lot of conservatives, a lot of law and order, fine, upstanding citizens said, well, you have nothing to fear if you're not doing anything wrong. And then since the day I came on this air, I said, well, here's the thing. What happens if something that you're doing right now that's perfectly legal, that is not hurting anybody, suddenly someday becomes illegal? See, that's the forward thinking most people don't do. We're absolutely fine with things like a civil asset forfeiture. We allow all kinds of government abuses as long as it doesn't touch us, because we don't break the law. We are friends of law and order. And I constantly point out, just because a law is written doesn't make it right. And because there's more and more and more laws written, be careful what you wish for, because suddenly one day you, something that you do, something that you enjoy, becomes illegal, you're going to be in trouble. This next story will tell you that. This also goes out to all the Democrats and socialists out there, because you think the government loves you. It's your big brother or your mommy or your daddy, and it's protecting you because it loves you. And this next story will just tell you, it'll turn on you in a heartbeat, like a rabid dog. A California church challenged local coronavirus restrictions on worship services. How dare they? And county authorities responded by canceling the church's five-decade-old lease. County officials informed Grace Community Church that it will terminate its decades-old lease on a parking lot after the church filed a lawsuit over local restrictions against in-person worship. County told the church in a letter it intends to terminate the lease of a large section of the parking lot that the church leases, threatening to forcibly remove any of the church's property that remained on the lot. Quote, if Grace fails to vacate the premises as required, the district may enter the premises and remove Grace's personal property in accordance with the agreement and applicable law, and Grace will be responsible for any resultant expenses incurred by the district, the letter states. See, here's another thing I hear a lot of conservatives say. Just submit, and then you can just litigate it in the courts. Just let the courts decide. Just whatever the state says, whatever a police officer says, whatever it is, submit completely to authority and sort it out in the courts. Maybe our founding father should have done that. You didn't like the way Great Britain was bossing us around? No revolution. We'll just duke it out in England's courts. In the court system, you know, that England set up. Well, that's what we should have done, right? I mean, this is the kind of stuff to me that is just a slam dunk. So this church, again, so this is here's to the people who say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to fear. I'm all about law and order. Okay, well, California and L.A. out there, they've got a law. They passed a law just saying, hey, you can't have in-person worship. Again, I ask, what country am I living in exactly? So see, what happened is, you understand what I'm saying? So everybody who says, well, I don't care what the police do, and I don't care that the NSA spies on everybody, and I don't care that the Patriot Act gives rights for all this mass surveillance of people, because if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to fear. Well, now these church parishioners, what did they do wrong? They showed up for an outdoor worship service, and they complained about the lockdowns. And now the city's going to go in and take their stuff. Just going to take it. Every law should be judged on whether it's ethical, whether it's moral, not because some politicians got together and ganged up and more than 50% of them voted to pass something. There's so many bad laws on the books, so many petty tyrants out there that's sitting around waiting for just saying, well, it's the law. I don't break the law. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I think there's almost nothing more pathetic than somebody who just blanket says, I'm a law-abiding citizen, meaning I'll comply with anything. Be right back. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday, so from 10 to 11 o'clock every Wednesday, we take a break from current events, politics, and get into natural health news you can use in a segment called Hump Day Health. We do this every Wednesday. The show's podcast. You can get show notes. I think it's a good resource. There's never been a more important time to make sure your health is in check and that you are doing the right things to keep yourself healthy. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second, too. I start each one of these shows by explaining to you I am not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a chemist, not a infectious disease expert, not an immunologist, not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist, not a PT. I'm nothing. I'm absolutely nothing. I have no certification to advise anybody on their health. I just bring topics to you to spur you to do your own research because I do have a strong, intense belief that most people's health outcomes are within their own hands instead of the helplessness that the medical system tries to lay on us, which means, cross your fingers and hope you don't get cancer. Cross your fingers, hope you don't get the flu. Cross your fingers, hope that you don't get any other one of a myriad of chronic diseases. Health outcomes are up to you, and nobody should care about your health more than you. Your doctor may love you. He may be the best, but you're one of 150 people he sees a day or a week. And he can't micromanage your life. It's time Americans took control of their own health. Please, at this point, take care of your health. You don't understand the burden you're placing on the rest of us. And let me explain this. I've talked to a lot of people about the per capita death rate in Mississippi. We are, last I saw, eighth in the country. And that's as a number of deaths per 100,000. Now, leaving out all the arguments about what we just heard from the CDC, that not all these are COVID deaths, the bottom line is that we are under these draconian things like Tate Reeves and his ridiculous two more weeks of mask mandates and the lockdowns and the restrictions placed on restaurants, all of the rest of this stuff. So we have to use it, have to just take whatever the power structure in Mississippi and in every state is using. As of right now, the way it's reported, we're number eight in deaths per 100,000. And I've talked to a lot of people about that. And I say it's largely because we have a very vulnerable situation here. We have a very vulnerable population here, particularly because of obesity in this state. We are the most obese state in the most obese country in the world. And almost every time I talk about that, people know that I come on the radio and talk about health stuff and talk about COVID. And they said, yeah, it's true, but you can't say that. And I thought, why not? Am I offending people when I say that being obese is bad for your health? Is that an insensitive fact to actually say out loud? I mean, it's a fact. I mean, I'm too short to play professional basketball. That's a fact. Should I be offended by that? No, I just accepted it. And if I really wanted to play professional basketball, I guess I could have worked every single day and tried to play basketball. But the fact is, I'm too old now to play professional basketball. I used to love basketball. That's a fact. I'm not offended by it. It's just a fact. Obesity is bad for you. If you're obese, you're damaging your health. And have you ever been around anybody who's lost 100 pounds? Now, this happens quite frequently. People finally get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they really finally make that commitment to dialing in on their nutrition, and they lose, 50, 60, 100, 150 pounds. I know you've probably been around somebody who's done that. When people see them, when they haven't seen them in a while, you know what they say? They say, wow, you look great. You've lost a lot of weight, haven't you? Good for you. They praise that, right? As we should. It's not easy to do. It's an accomplishment. It's a human accomplishment. And we say at the very end of it, good for you, because it's a good thing to not be obese. When you gain 100 pounds, people don't walk up to you and say, wow, you've gotten really fat and out of weight. Good for you. There's a reason for that. It's not good for you. Now, I'm not mad at anybody who's overweight. I've said about 15, 20 years ago, I got a little chunky, didn't even really realize it. I go back and look at pictures of myself and I go, huh. Matter of fact, an old girlfriend saw me recently in the last couple of years. She made mention of it. I thought it was very rude.
You looked like you gained some weight a few years ago. I swear, I didn't even see it at the time. But now I look back. I'm much healthier now when I changed my diet, when I got off my 12-pack-a-day of sodas and diet drinks and zesty Doritos. But I'm not mad at anybody who gains weight, and I don't have any ill will towards anybody who's obese and out of shape. I don't know why I would. I mean, that's not the point of this at all. It's never to offend. But the truth is, if you're obese or overweight, you're harming yourself. You know, we've had a big opioid crisis in this country. It's been very sad. Now, with opioid addicts, a lot of times there's very tragic stories of people who have a back injury or prescribed opioids. They end up getting hooked on them. Sometimes they lose careers, they lose families, they get really deep into the addiction to painkillers. They may be great people, but we don't ignore their raging addiction to opioids and try to dance around the topic and not say anything. Oh, we don't want to offend them. We don't want to offend all the opioid addicts out there, so we don't dare say anything negative about opioid addiction. Of course we say things negative about opioid addiction because it's bad for people. It can kill you. And so it just struck me as a person after person when we were talking about Mississippi's death rate per 100,000 per capita, and I would say, well, it's because we're so fat and out of shape in this state. And people would say, oh, but you can't say that. And I just thought, why not? I mean, I may be offending somebody right now, and I'm sorry. I certainly don't mean to offend in any way. But you need to make some changes if you want to be healthy. You know, obesity leads to a ton of other things. It's not just eating bad and having a few extra pounds and having to get better. I mean, just the list of chronic illnesses that come out of obesity are incredibly expensive. They alter people's lives. And we're at ground zero of it. I mean, if we can't talk about the problem here at ground zero, we're number 8 in the country for COVID deaths, and it's because we're so vulnerable. If we can't talk about the fact that we've got a real obesity problem here now, I don't know really when we can. And again, has nothing to do with character of anybody who is overweight. It doesn't have to do with how kind they are, how wonderful as a person they are. You can be a great larger person. You can be a real jackass person that's great physical fitness. It has nothing to do with who somebody is. But the fact of the matter is obesity is bad for us. And if you are obese, if you have gained a lot of weight, you should be looking to rectify that situation because it gets worse. And the longer you are overweight, the worse damage you end up doing to your body. This is not rocket science. I'm not a doctor. I mean, if you want to get a second opinion from what I'm saying, consult a medical professional. I think they'll back me up on this one. Being obese and overweight is not healthy. So I hope that doesn't come off like some kind of a fat-shaming rant. Because that's not what it is. It's just one of these things. It's just sitting right out in front of us. And we act like, well, you can't say that. I think the opioid thing is, I mean, opioid addicts, God love the people who develop addictions. We need to help them. We need to medically help them. We don't need to shame them. We just need to help them and get them better. A lot of great people have been taken down by all kinds of addictions, gambling, alcohol, opioids, other illegal drugs, sex. I mean, there's all kinds of addictions out there that people face. Doesn't make anybody terrible in their character, but we do try to get them help. It's time that we started saying the people who are overweight, who are having all of these chronic health conditions, just need our love and our help. But if it's you, you need to start taking some action on that. It's not good for you. And if I guess I'm the only person that will just say it out loud, I guess I just did. It's just something that needs to be said. When you're looking at your diet, I mean, I tell you nutritionally, that's what you need to do. There was a story out here. Ultra-processed junk food linked to advanced aging in cellular studies. So not only does obesity and poor diet lead to other chronic illnesses, people who eat a lot of industrial processed junk food are more likely to exhibit a change in their chromosomes linked to aging, according to research presented Tuesday at an online medical conference. 3 or more servings of so-called ultra-processed foods per day doubled the odds that strands of DNA and proteins called telomeres
found in the ends of chromosomes would be shorter compared to people who rarely consume such foods, scientists reported at the European and International Conference on Obesity. Shorter telomeres are a marker of biological aging at the cellular level, and the study suggests that diet is a factor in driving the cell to age faster. To me, that's a big duh, but it's something that needs to be said. Ultra-processed foods are these grab-and-go bags and boxes that most people rely on as a staple of their diet. Not only is it making you larger, not only is it making you sicker, it is also aging you faster. I don't know. I've got another 45 minutes in this show. I can list off all of the downsides to a bad diet and being overweight or obese, but I'm going to move on to something else. When I come back, I want you to listen to a very esteemed person in the medical world calling out the medical system. I don't want it to seem like it's just me. Medical system is off the rails. It's lost its way in this country. This comes from an article talking about the fact that the United States medical system is by far and away the most expensive in the world. And how do they justify it? By a bunch of propagandists coming out. And I know you've heard this term before, but they say, we have the greatest medical system in the country, in the world. No, we don't. We absolutely do not. If you look at world rankings, we're somewhere like 45th. Health outcomes are horrible in this country. Our health is deteriorating time after time. Again, I'll say it. I talked last week about new technology for people who have burns. That is staggeringly great. And if you're in a car accident or you have a preemie baby, they have got technologies now that will save that preemie baby and allow it to continue to live that weren't possible 5 or 10 years ago. They're making such advancements. If you've got to go into a surgery when your body is broken, they can do absolutely amazing things. But when it comes to the overall system of trying to keep us healthy, it's a disaster in this country right now. Again, something else nobody will ever talk about. But I'm going to get to, I want you to hear from this person. I'm going to read it. I don't have an audio clip of it, but I'm going to read exactly what one of these esteemed editors of a major medical journal had to say about the medical system as a whole here in the United States. Stay with me. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we're back. If anybody's mad at me for talking about obesity being a problem that actually should be talked about, nobody should be shamed for stuff like that, but it's a real thing. It's not good for your health. If anybody's mad at me for that, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com, and just really let loose on me. Apparently, I mean, I kind of feel like I'm maybe I'm the only person who will say it out loud, and maybe that's because other people have tried before and been beat mercilessly by people that heard it. We do live in a society where everybody is ready to get outraged about something, always offended by everything. Anyway, I make a lot of arguments here that a medical system's let us down here. It's just corrupted. And I ran across this story about a report that's come out that shows that the American medical system is by far and away the most expensive on planet Earth. And I am not somebody who likes government control of things. A lot of people want to see single-payer system, meaning basically Medicare for all. That's a big thing on the left. I'm repulsed by that idea because I know the government does nothing good. We're going to pay for it, too. Anybody who thinks that health care provided by the government is somehow, because you won't have an insurance premium, they're just going to move that premium from your insurance over into your taxes. Now, maybe rich people will pay a little bit more of your medical care, and that may give you some jollies or because you're out to get the rich. That's not fair. I mean, a rich person who takes care of themselves and doesn't need much from the medical system shouldn't be paying for somebody else's health care who doesn't care about their health care, and now they'll just let their health go to crap because they've got this government-mandated health insurance. All that being said, I'm almost to the point in this medical system here with the expense of it. I mean, the fact that most people have got health insurance, but their deductibles now are something like $5,000, $10,000 before you can even use your plan. It's a disgusting system here. Really disgusting. And it's gotten so much worse over about the last 20 years. I remember most people used to have company-paid health insurance, and what, your deductible was maybe $250 a year? You know, some people might want to save a little bit of money, so they'd raise their deductible to $500. If you've still got one of those plans, good on you, because there ain't many of you out there. Most people I know that even have corporate plans, their deductibles are in the thousands of dollars, meaning you're thousands of dollars out of pocket before the insurance company even lifts a finger to help do anything. It's really stunning. It's a terrible system. It almost makes me wonder if a single-payer system wouldn't be less corrupt, but it wouldn't be, and here's why. Because the lobbyists there, if Bernie Sanders got his way, or any politician, look, there's a lot of Republicans that are for Medicare for All, too. The reason it won't work here in the United States is because our government is bought and paid for by the medical mafia, the pharmaceutical companies, the hospital associations, all of these other groups that make massive amounts of money. They're not going to just let go of that. So even if we get something like Medicare for All or some single-payer system, these groups are still in Washington, D.C. They're not just going to go, oh, shucks, well, we had a good run. I guess we'll close up shop. No more profit to be made in medical treatments. They're not going to do that. They will end up buying politicians, and the politicians will use this new centralized healthcare system to make all of their donor class fat and happy. They'll make sure the pharmaceutical companies are taken care of, and they'll just put that burden on the taxpayer. Now, maybe it's not out of pocket to you. It's just out of pocket to the taxpayers in general, leading to more debt and higher taxes and all these other things. It won't work here. But I say these things as an outsider. Well, what do you know? And I can just imagine doctors. How dare he criticize our fine medical system here? I went to school for 12 years, and we have the greatest, you know, whatever. Look at the results. To all you pompous people in the medical field right now. God love you. I know a lot of you are wonderful people and you got into it to help. I don't have anything against you personally, but can you be a little bit less pompous? If you're looking around, things aren't going so great. Americans' health outcomes are getting worse by the decade. Come down off your high horse just a tiny bit and maybe admit, maybe what we're doing right now, not working out so great. But again, I'm just a guy from the peanut gallery, not way, you know, I don't know about the system, so I like to bring in people who do know about the system, so I wanted to read this to you. One of the few extremely bold Americans who rose high in the U.S. healthcare system and tried to tell the public how intensely corrupt it is has been Marcia Engel, A-N-G-E-L-L. She's a doctor, an MD, who held numerous prestigious posts in the U.S. medical system, and she was, for a while, the editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine. Okay, so this is no fringe doctor working out of a van down by the river. This is Marcia Engel, former editor-in-chief of the New York Journal of Medicine. On 15th of January 2009, Dr. Engel headlined, quote, this is the title of her piece. Again, I'm trying to punctuate this point, make sure everybody understands. This is the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. I did inaccurately the first hour say JAMA, the Journal of American Medical Association. No, this is the New England Journal of Medicine. It's like one of the top three or four. Probably one of the top two, maybe JAMA and New England Journal of Medicine. This is their editor-in-chief, wrote a piece entitled, quote, Drug Companies and Doctors, colon, A Story of Corruption. This is not Mike Madison saying this. Here's what she wrote. Conflicts of interest pervade medicine. It is simply no longer possible to believe much of the clinical research that is published or to rely on the judgment of trusted physicians or authoritative medical guidelines. I take no pleasure in this conclusion, which I reached slowly and reluctantly over my two decades as an editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. So many reforms would be necessary to restore integrity to clinical research and medical practice that they cannot be summarized briefly. Many would involve congressional legislation and changes in the FDA, including its drug approval process. But there is clearly also a need for the medical profession to wean itself from industry money almost entirely. Yeah, that's not going to happen. She goes on. The laugh, the diabolical laugh, that was me. That was not quoting this doctor in this piece. Back to her. She says, breaking the dependence of the medical profession on the pharmaceutical industry will take more than appointing committees and other gestures. It will take a sharp break from an extremely lucrative pattern of behavior. But if the medical profession does not put an end to this corruption voluntarily, it will lose the confidence of the public. Again, this is from a former editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine. And boy, is she knocking it out of the park. She's exactly right. It lost my confidence about 15 years ago when I healed myself through nutrition after going to see doctors for 20 years about chronic headaches, chronic stomach problems. They never asked me what I ate. She goes on. I want to finish this piece, or at least this part of this piece that she wrote. She says, quote, if we had set out to design the worst system that we could imagine, we couldn't have imagined one as bad as we have. Did you hear that? This is the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. And see, when you understand these publications, what they do is they publish a bunch of these research studies she's talking about. So what appears to happen is she was running the New England Journal of Medicine, and she was one of their editors there, and they were getting all kinds of research, and she goes, oh, this is ridiculous. This is all industry-funded stuff. This is, what are we're putting out pharmaceutical company propaganda in one of the most respected medical journals in the world? And apparently she was told yes. I'm going to read this first sentence of this next paragraph again for you. Again, this is the, I hate to keep saying this, but it's important. You know, you never know if somebody just pops into a talk radio show. You just got in your car from coming back from whatever. Again, New England Journal of Medicine editor said, if we had set out to design the worst system that we could imagine, we couldn't have imagined one as bad as we have. She goes on to say, our healthcare system is based on the premise that healthcare is a commodity like a VCR or computers and that it should be distributed according to the ability to pay. That market ideology is what has made the healthcare system so dreadful, so bad at what it does. This is a fundamental mistake in the way this country and only this country looks at healthcare. The only way to both reduce cost and increase access and quality to change the system is to scrap it and start over. And the system is corrupt down to its core. And for, I got to tell you, I mean, I don't expect to have a whole lot of medical professionals listening to the show. But I like it when one of your own comes out and calls out what is so patently obvious. We have the most expensive healthcare system in the world, and our health outcomes are declining, 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 declining. You know what's going up? Pharmaceutical company stocks, pharmaceutical company compensation at the upper levels. That's what's going up. Health outcomes going down. And this is why I spend an hour every single week telling you, you need to get off that hamster wheel. All you're doing is just enriching a bunch of people. You're not making yourself any better. You're costing yourself more money. And there is food that can actually heal you from so many different things if you would just take a little bit of initiative. Just look at it yourself and just decide, today's the day I get off the hamster wheel of this entirely corrupt medical system. All right, I'll be right back. Got a little bit of COVID stuff here. Great doctor, Dr. Simone Gold, talks about what she recommends to her her patients. And the reason I'm playing this is because I'm not scared of COVID. I really realize this is a pretty minor thing, but her advice is pretty good for anybody whenever you get respiratory problems at all. And I used to have them all the time. I used to get a ton of bronchitis and chest colds and things like that. Wish I had known Simone Gold 20 years ago. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition.
If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. Thanks for joining me. We're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. Are you about to rush out and get that flu shot? I did something a couple weeks ago about the new term, the twindemic. This is what we have to steel ourselves for. We have to get ready for this fall is them trying to freak us out and jab as many needles into us as possible. And let me just tell you, I've got a lot of engagement with listeners, particularly on the health show, but on the rest of my show too. I really appreciate that. But it is kind of funny. You know, those closest to you, sometimes you have almost no effect. And I understand that. They have the powdered butt syndrome. You ever heard of that? It's once somebody has powdered your butt as a baby, they're never really going to respect what you have to say at any point. They're always going to view you as just a small child. I don't have these conversations, but my almost 90-year-old father was talking to my father and my stepmother. She's in her 70s. And I just called down to check on them, see how they were doing. My dad's elderly. I want to keep in touch with him. He lives down in Mobile, Alabama, and talked to my stepmother and said, you know, check and see how everything's going. And she was so excited. She says, well, we're just sitting around today, but tomorrow's the first day we can get a flu shot, so we're just getting ready to go do that. Yeah, you know, I don't say anything, but I think there are a lot of people that are going to be really excited this year. I've got to get the flu shot. I mean, of all years, you got to get the flu shot this year. You don't want to be a victim of the twindemic. And I've got a little bit of information on that you probably need to hear, and then I'll just let you do with it whatever you want to do. You want to go get the shot, go get the shot. I haven't had one in 15 years. I haven't been sick for a single day in 15 years. Correlation is not causation, but maybe the flu shot was not the thing that was stopping me from getting the flus if it ever did work. Maybe it was the fact that now I pay attention to what I shove into my pie hole. Maybe that has more of an effect. But anyway, I digress. I guess I'll go ahead and get into that. Because there's a shocking story from Great Britain from March that, you know, you're not going to hear about now. I mean, that's old news, right? But anyway, there was a study done. I'll go ahead and read from the story here. This is about flu shots and coronavirus. Again, we are going to be sold a whole lot of stuff about you need to get your flu shot because this fall we're going to have the flu and COVID. We're all going to die. Rush out and get your flu shots. On March 12, 2020, Anderson Cooper and Dr. Sanjay Gupta held a global town hall on Corona facts and fears. During the discussion, Anderson Cooper encouraged the audience to go get a flu shot, suggesting that it may help with the coronavirus. Is that true? This is from the article. Greg G. Wolf, an epidemiologist with the Armed Forces Health Surveillance Branch, recently published a study in the journal Vaccine titled Influenza Vaccination and Respiratory Virus Interference Among Department of Defense Personnel During the 2017-2018 Influenza Season. The study examined virus interference in a Department of Defense population. This refers to the increased risk of other respiratory viruses as a result of, in this case, the influenza vaccine. Translation to us little people out here, the flu shot. The study found that that virus interference varied among vaccinated individuals for individual respiratory viruses and found that for coronavirus in particular, in this study, those who had been vaccinated with the flu vaccine had a 36% higher risk of contracting a coronavirus. Do I need to read that again? It's just kind of fascinating. I mean, this study is out here. This guy wasn't doing coronavirus research. So again, this report was from 2017-2018. But what he found in studying thousands of armed service personnel is those that had the vaccine for the flu, who got the flu vaccine, had a 36% higher risk of getting a coronavirus. You know, coronavirus has been around for forever, right? The common cold is a coronavirus. COVID-19 is just a particular strain that they've just identified. So that's pretty interesting, I would say. Seems like something the doctors might want to take into consideration as they're getting people to line up. I mean, if their whole goal is to save us from this deadly plague, the coronavirus, maybe they should look at the research that says, hey, getting a flu shot may increase your chances of getting coronavirus. Absolutely amazing this stuff doesn't come up. Now, this was interesting to me, too, to kind of bolster this point. And again, I do a lot of material on this show. And a lot of the research that I cite here had to be done not here in the United States. Going back to my last segment where I read to you from the editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine talking about the corruption in our medical system, sometimes I have to go out into France and Germany and Paraguay or wherever the research is actually done where it's not completely corrupted. This was from March of this year. I'll give you the exact date here. Where is it? March 17th of 2020, over in Great Britain, one of their top medics with their health system said this. Here's the headline of it. It's in the Mirror UK. And again, if you want to see any of this stuff, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll send you my show notes. You can get these links and look at them for yourself and share them with whoever you want. This is the headline from March 17th of 2020 in the Mirror over in Great Britain. Coronavirus, : top medic warns anyone who gets the flu jab should stay at home. Subheadline was, people who get the winter flu jab are firmly advised to shield themselves from the coronavirus by isolating for 12 weeks. The deputy chief medical officer for England warns. Britons, this is in the story here, Britons who get the annual winter flu jab fall into the government's high-risk category and should self-isolate, a top medic warns. The news comes as the public demands more clarity from the government over who falls into that category, given common underlying health problems. This was from Jonathan Van Tam, Deputy Chief Medical Officer for England. I mean, so think about that. Over in England, back in March, and again, this is at the, you know, March was kind of at the tail end of flu season. I think they're still pushing these flu shots and into March, and maybe they'll be 12 years around, you know, around the calendar now. They'll be pushing flu shots now because we're all freaked out. Good time for the vaccine industry to pounce. But you've got one of the chief medical people in Great Britain saying back in March, hey, if you had the flu shot, you need to hole up for 3 months. Now, you add that with the research that I just gave you from this guy studying Department of Defense people that says you're at increased risk of getting coronavirus if you get the flu shot. Now, look, let me just go ahead and qualify this right here, right now. I'm not telling anybody to get a shot or not get a shot. I am here to tell you to do your own research, and I'm going to bring you information that Dr. Fauci and Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi don't dare touch. But if you're considering rushing out like my father and my stepmother did just a few days ago, as I just cringe on my end of the phone, you might want to just do your own research and say, hey, is it wise to have a flu shot? Does that make me more susceptible to coronavirus down the road? Kind of seems like something we should be thinking about these days. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
All right, final segment for the day. This show is podcast. If you want to catch the podcast or you want to share it with somebody who's struggling with health stuff, I don't know. If you've got somebody who's I'm not even going to say it. Never mind. You can get the podcast. Go to WYEB.com. You can scroll down and find my show page or go straight to the link, themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or you can get it on Apple Podcast or TuneIn Podcast as well. It's there. Or if you hear some topic ever covered on the show that you're interested in or it spurs you to want to do some more research, you want to see my source material, you can email me, mikemadison@wyeb.com. I send these out every week. A bunch of people ask for them. I'll send you out my show notes where it's just got all the links. A lot of the stories are much longer than I have time to get into here, so it's always good to get the full picture of stuff. So if there's something of interest to you, let me know. I'll send you my show notes. I was talking earlier about having to go overseas to get some news. I like to feel smart. Don't you like to feel smart? I told you back in probably March or April, I need to get better about kind of clipping myself when I have something like a prediction. I told you back in March or April that 2020, as crazy as it was going at the time, and we had no idea how crazy it was going to get, that the sequel, 2021, was going to have a title. This was back in the time where they were, you know, you couldn't get a hand sanitizer anywhere. Everywhere you went, everybody wanted you to sanitize. Everybody's carrying these tubes around on their belt. I mean, people are like getting holsters for hand sanitizer. You know, remember those little coin dispensers? You go to the fair or something and you chink, chink, chink. That was back when, you know, something at the fair actually got you some change back. That doesn't happen anymore. But they used to be able to, people had like hand sanitizer dispensers on their belt. There's hand sanitizers everywhere. I told you, 2021, the title for it's going to be Rise of the Superbug. Because we're out there over-sanitizing. I'm having some problems with this website. I think it's the Express in UK. It's their website. Let me read this before it disappears again. Coronavirus warning. Mass use of hand gels could create, and they actually put create in all caps, unstoppable superbugs, says expert. Coronavirus warning. Mass use of hand gels could create unstoppable superbugs, says expert. I'm scared to death to even scroll on this story because every time I touch it, it tries to reload or try to move it around. Something's going on with their website. But the bottom line is, look, we're supposed to coexist with some germs. This idea of over-sanitizing our homes, over-sanitizing our cars, over-sanitizing everything, trying to kill everything. These little bugs, these little viruses, these little bacteria, they find a way. They've been around a lot longer than us, and we're going to find ourselves with untreatable stuff. I wanted to get into a couple of things. One thing I ran across on Dr. Mercola's site, he's somebody I really recommend. It's Mercola.com. If you're interested in natural health, if you want to take control of your own health, he's a wealth of information. Been doing it for years and years and years. And usually when I reference his articles, I can only get to the, you know, maybe 5, 10% of an article because he's got the science to back up what he's talking about. Recently, the owner of MyPillow, a favorite of conservatives out there, he essentially, I think, is keeping Fox News on the air. There must be a lot of money in pillows. The ad buys that the MyPillow guy does are staggering. And I do believe he is single-handedly. Fox News may actually change to MyPillow News, as many ads as he runs. But he's become a favorite. I know he's a very religious guy, nothing to knock the knock him personally, but he has been coming out with this oleander cure for COVID or this oleander treatment for it. Now, when he came out with that and was roundly bashed, I'm like a lot of people. I said, well, that could be political. Any conservative that comes out and says something, of course, CNN's going to bash them. But I was open-minded to it because it's something natural, and so I'm always interested to hear that. But I do my research. I don't just hear somebody say something and then rush out to go get it or try it or do it. I do my own research. This may not be a widely used American strategy, but anyway, I do. Dr. Mercola put out a piece. I've got it on my show notes if you want to see it, but he warns against that entirely. He says the oleander cure is not an idea. It's not been tested on people. It's only been in cultured cells to kill certain viruses, but that the dose required to do that inside your body may actually end up being poisonous to you. I just say that because it certainly made the rounds a couple of weeks ago. I love natural cures. There's plants are helping us all over the place, but that might be a big swing and a miss. I wanted to play this in the remaining time I've got here. This is Dr. Simone Gold. She's talking about COVID-19. This was a group of doctors met up in Washington, D.C. I'm not sure if it was associated with frontline doctors or not, but she talks about what she recommends to patients. I play this not because I'm scared of coronavirus. I play this because this is, you know, this is about treating respiratory problems that people have year in, year out, COVID-19 or not.
Is a compound that I recommend to most of my patients. I do some stratifying based on their comorbidities and different risk factors to find the right strength and if they might need a prescription prophylaxis. But most of my patients end up with quercetin and zinc. And those are really interesting compounds. The quercetin is an over-the-counter. It's a quinone. It's related to hydroxychloroquine. It's a flavonoid, and you find it in red wine, onions, but I don't want my patients to drink enough red wine or eat enough onions to get the amount they need, so we use supplements. And it's really an interesting compound for the immune system. It does two different things. The first thing it does is it changes the pH of endosomes in these white cells. And the way I explain that to my patients is if there's a cell and it kind of grabs all the gunk around viruses, intracellular parasites, and it puts it in a trash bag inside the cell. And then it's supposed to dispose of it. So the first thing that compound does is it increases or it changes the pH so that the virus will literally fall apart within that little trash bag. If the pH doesn't get changed enough and it gets through the side of that, then it can infect the cells and take over the mechanism, and it reproduces itself and then goes out to infect other cells and other people. So the first part is trying to prevent it from really even getting a hold of the cells in the first place and taking over and reproducing itself. The second thing it does is it's called a zinc ionophore, which is a zinc lever. And so it pulls in zinc. And if you've been following the story with COVID, zinc is really important in most of the regimens to treat early disease. So the quercetin pulls the zinc into the cells. And we don't get a lot of zinc in our cells without something to pull it in. And what happens there is when the virus wants to reproduce itself, it needs an enzyme, and that enzyme is inhibited by zinc. So these are really simple compounds that we can use relatively safely to try to prepare the immune systems of our seniors for COVID and give them a much better chance to beat this disease.
Huh, very interesting. That's an MD. I have not heard state medical authority Thomas Dobbs talk about a couple of supplements that may help seniors and everybody else protect their immune systems. How strange is that? That's all the time I got today. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.